Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Stories of the New Testament, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 33, The Parable of the Ten Virgins, Part B.
If you have not listened to the Parable of the Ten Virgins, Part 1, may we invite you to do so. In Part 1, we analyzed Revelations 18 and 19 as they related to the Parable of the Ten Virgins. In this podcast, we shall examine the text of the parable itself.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto ten virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish.
One of the primary purposes of all the parables is to teach us about the kingdom of heaven and how to get there. To do that, we must first understand which kingdom of heaven Christ is referring to. Paul, who was caught up in the third heaven, speaks of 3 degrees of glory. He uses light to separate them.
1 Corinthians 15:40 through 42. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption.
When Christ is described, he is often described as the light of the sun. Paul described Christ this way.
Acts 26:13-15. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
John the Revelator describes the resurrected Lord in the same way.
Revelation 1:14-16. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
In the Transfiguration, the face of Christ also shone like the sun.
Matthew 17:2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light.
Christ promises that those who live with him will also shine like the sun.
Matthew 13:43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
It follows then that the kingdom of heaven spoken of in the parable of the ten virgins is the celestial kingdom or highest kingdom or third heaven spoken of by Paul. The others shine like the moon and stars. What we have then with the parable of the ten virgins is a representation of the separation of heavens. All are virgins, meaning they live chaste lives. All began with full lamps. The 5 wise virgins are invited into the celestial kingdom where the marriage supper of the Lamb is held. Those 5 foolish virgins will, by default, enter the terrestrial kingdom. where their bodies will shine like the moon. It is a kingdom of heaven, but Christ does not live there. They will not have a fullness of his light and glory. Nevertheless, it is still a kingdom of heaven. There is nothing in their behavior that suggests that they go to hell. They are negligent, but they are not evil. Their sorrow is because they were denied the highest degree of glory where Christ lives. Therefore, let's examine the particulars. What distinguished their behavior? The Lord said of the five foolish virgins,
"They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them."
The Lord said of the five wise virgins,
"But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps."
Now we see what the difference really is. At first reading, it appears that the five foolish virgins took no oil at all, which would have been foolish indeed, but that is a false reading. It meant they took no extra oil with their lamps, as did the five wise virgins. All 10 virgins had lamps full of oil when they began their journey, for we know that their lamps were burning when they fell asleep. However, the five foolish virgins had given the bridegroom a deadline. They expected him to follow their schedule. They did not recognize that the bridegroom was the master, and not them. They were servants, yet they put themselves on his level, assuming that he was subject to their bidding and not the other way around. The five wise virgins were good and faithful servants. They all brought extra oil with their lamps so that they would be prepared to meet his schedule. Falling asleep was not the issue. Falling asleep before preparing for the coming of the bridegroom was the issue.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept.
As we also learned in Revelation 19, what distinguishes the two top kingdoms is valiancy. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, meaning that not only were their lamps full, but they also had extra storage for emergencies. That is the metaphor we are to learn. What does it mean to have extra oil even though our lamps are full? The principle will always be the same, but the specific preparations will vary with each new challenge. It is not enough just to live the letter of the law. We must also live the spirit of the law. In other words, it is not enough to do the minimum requirements. We must also prepare in advance for emergencies. The principle is really the key to success in almost everything. It is especially relevant in preparing for any journey. The parable of the 10 virgins is about the greatest journey of all, the journey of life, the journey to the celestial kingdom. To enter the celestial kingdom, one must know what all the conditions or requirements are. The five wise virgins understood those conditions. The five foolish virgins did not. Everything Christ taught, as illustrated by the parables, by the Sermon on the Mount, by his teachings to his apostles, was to get us back into his kingdom to live with him. He wants us to shine forth as the Son in the kingdom of his Father. No glory less than the Son could endure the presence of the Father of us all, and his Son Jesus Christ. Those who shine like the moon will be happier in a heaven with others who shine like the moon. Those who shine like the stars would be happier in a heaven with others who shine like the stars. The reason the door was shut on the five foolish virgins was not to punish them. It was to save them from eternal misery. They would only be comfortable living in the kingdom that matched the light of the laws they lived. Christ did not teach the laws of the other kingdoms of glory because they are default kingdoms. They are heavens made for those who did not live the full laws of Christ. Christ gave the standards of judgment for all those who want to become like him and to live with him forever. The standards are absolute and very high. The reason heaven is repeated so often in the New Testament is because Christ wants to be at the forefront of our minds. The higher the kingdom, the greater the laws. That is the message of the parable of the 10 virgins. All 10 were followers of Christ. All 10 had full lamps, but only 5 endured to the end.
"And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Notice that when the bridegroom came, all 10 virgins heard the clarion call. All 10 immediately arose. All 10 immediately trimmed their lamps. However, the 5 foolish virgins had discovered, into their shock, that their lamps had gone out. Their sleep was spiritual death because they were not prepared and did not know they were not prepared until they discovered that their lamps had burned out. What does that tell us? It tells us that the sleep was not a physical sleep. It was a spiritual sleep. For those 5 wise virgins who brought extra oil in their lamps, it was a physical sleep, which they had earned from their hard labor. For those who were foolish, it was spiritual laxity. To put it mildly, their church attendance had dropped off. Their study of the scriptures had dropped off. Their prayers, perhaps, had dropped off. And they had let the cares of the world overtake them. You can see the comparison with the parable of the sower. They represent those whose seeds fell among thorns.
Matthew 13:22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
The 5 foolish virgins were not evil, however, they were unfruitful. The 5 wise virgins represent those where the seed fell on good ground.
Matthew 13:23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
One thing that makes the parable of the 10 virgins so rich is its complexity. For example, why wouldn't the 5 wise virgins share their oil with the 5 foolish virgins? The first thing the foolish virgins did was to rely on the charity of others to cover their own foolishness.
And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.
That raises a very important issue about charity. I recall 2 separate occasions where 2 faithful young women confided in me that they had lost their virtue. Having high moral standards, they were upset with themselves. One had a boyfriend who became very ill, so she went to his apartment to nurse him to health. However, she remained too long and talked herself into spending the night, which she had not intended to do. She charitably entered his apartment, but in lingering too long, she created an environment that tempted her to compromise her virtue. It was not her intent to sleep with him. It was her intent to nurse him to health. In the compromising environment, however, they became intimate. I'm not judging her. It was she who judged herself. She felt tremendous remorse for her foolishness. She had no extra oil to resist temptation, which is symbolic of having no extra oil in her lamp. The other situation was similar. She too had a boyfriend who came from out of town. It was a freezing night. He had no money, so the young woman allowed him to spend the night with her alone in her home. She showed mercy to him. However, in return, rather than return her charity, he imposed his will upon her, causing her to compromise her virtue. She trusted him, but he became a predator. Foolish charity has compromised and even destroyed many good people. At what point does charity turn like a mad dog and rend you? The 5 wise virgins did not share their extra oil because there was not enough left for them. In other words, they were wisely not willing to risk losing their place at the marriage feast because of another's carelessness, no matter how worthy the cause. By comparison, the 2 young men in the above story should have prepared extra oil also for their journey, and not risk compromising those whom they pretended to love. The same is true for the 5 foolish virgins. The 5 wise virgins responded. Well, they responded wisely.
But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.
Notice that on the one hand, the 5 wise virgins refused to give them oil. However, they charitably counsel them to go to those who sell. something the five foolish virgins, who were apparently used to having others solve their problems, hadn't thought of. However, it was too late. The distance to the cellar symbolizes the distance the five foolish virgins had separated themselves from Christ. They slept when they should have been going to the cellars to buy extra oil. It symbolizes the repentance process that also separates them from the two young women in my story. They were not like the foolish virgins. They immediately felt remorse for dropping their standards and immediately set about correcting their behavior. They were like the five wise virgins. They immediately, after their compromise and transgression, repented and set about putting extra oil in their lamps. It was Isaiah who said,
Isaiah 1:16-19, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land."
The five foolish virgins didn't bother to correct their course. They simply strayed from the straight and narrow way until it was too late.
"And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not."
This is a cautionary tale. The Savior concludes the parable with the following warning.
"Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.